gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yay!
Thank you, Michelle Bachman. I know, it's exciting. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. A big, big show. We have David Bender coming up.
Yay!
Mm-hmm. Angela Carasone of Stop Back.
Yay!
Uh-huh. And CNN anchor Don Lemon.
Yay!
Who is gay? Yay for gay.
Yay!
Especially your husband. What?
What? Hey!
Oh, do we have a gift from the comedy gods and right-wing world, our very first soundbite, Marcus Bachman. Oh, dear God, thank you for today's show. Thank you.
Thank you, baby Jeebus.
Thank you, baby Jeebus. For the Marcus. All right. Kids, sexy liberal news. Let's see. Tucson up next, because Mama's going to be on vacation next week. Hal Sparks filling in for us. And then next Saturday, July 9th, we will be in Tucson. Get it. Tickets going fast. I'm caving to the adding a second show pressure in many places. We'll have announcements tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, I have no core principles of any kind. We have Boston coming up July 16th, and then Aisha Tyler fills in for Hal in August. We got Santa Fe and Detroit. It's and on and on. SexyLiberal.com is the website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. We have lots of cool new pictures up from Chicago.
Yeah.
Me doing slutty things.
There's some artsy black and white things,
my
too.
My comedy is kind of a version of my dancing. I just kind of act slutty. That's sort of it. That's the whole magic of it.
Well, people seem to dig it.
They seem to be digging it. All right. You know what? We have a friend to help us with our comedy gold.
Carl.
Carl Frisch. Exciting. Bullfightstrategies.com.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. I'm glad that you've decided to start calling it dancing, because when I saw it, I thought it was a stroke.
Thanks very much. Thanks. Well, sometimes I do stroke out just a little. A tiny scotch.
Yeah,
tiny bit.
She did yesterday.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carl. Carl, as an ex-Catholic girl, I sometimes get up and pray with my little fart joke radio show, and I say, please, God, please send me a soundbite of Michelle Bachman's clearly gay husband saying something that sounds really gay. And guess what, Carl? My dream came true today.
Yay!
Yay!
All right, let's dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we? Yeah, this is what I said, Carl. When I looked down on my soundbite list, I said, no, he did not say something about homosexuals or barbarians that need to be disciplined. He didn't say something like that, did he? Okay, here we go.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined. And just because someone feels it or thinks it doesn't mean that we're supposed to go down that road.
Oh, God.
That's what's called the sinful nature. And we have a responsibility as parents and as authority figures not to encourage such thoughts and feelings to move into the action steps.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when we understand what truly is the percentage of homosexuals in this country, it's small. But by these open doors, I can see, and we are experiencing that it is starting to increase.
Oh, my
wow.
God. I don't. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Homosexuals.
Okay, I think we know.
Barbarians.
I think we know who's a top and who's. Does he? He clearly needs a safe word, or someone does.
It's dirty. The sinful nature. Oh my gosh. I mean, and this is from the same guy who admits to having fought off homosexual desires at some point in his life.
Really? I just. I don't know why I feel shades of Ted Haggard.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, he's in that gay, reach around, so outreach stuff.
When did he say he fought off homosexual desires?
And how's that going for him?
Well, I'm pretty sure that I've read at least that he's talked about, you know, reparative therapy and,
right.
and through the power
well,
of prayer.
Well, that's what he does
and
with his clinic.
Myself,
he prayed.
Even myself, I've fought off the desire.
Sure.
Wow.
Sure.
And he accepts Medicare for this?
Yes, he accepts government funding for his gay away. Praying the gay
therapy.
Away therapy. Hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Can I just hear that one more time? Come on. I just have to, just the barbarians thing and the discipline. Please.
You have to understand, barbarians need to be educated.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be
daddy can teach you.
Disciplined.
Okay, I'm sorry. That's going to be like the do it again soundbite today, Carl. I'm just going to play that probably like
well,
47 times.
new meaning to the term barbarians at the gate.
Yes, exactly. Wow.
Oh, God, it's just, it's really so waiting for Guffman. I couldn't love it anymore.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Oh, God, I just want to date that soundbite and marry it. Okay. Sorry, Carl, I just need to recover. Let's move on. Glenn Beck, oh, guess what? Today's Fred's last day. It's Christmas sweater day. Did you know that, Carl? It's his last night tonight, right?
That's right.
Well, I mean, it's his last night on broadcast television, and he'll be the first to tell you that he is looking forward to being a video internet guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. I mean, literally millions of crazy people have videos on YouTube. So he's joining an esteemed group of people. He'll have to break out from the people that videotape their kitten sneezing and their panda farting. But
he will be competing with Baby Monkey riding backwards on a pig. That's pretty much his. Oh, and Fox News is going to announce their. We will run encore presentations of Glenn Beck next week. Oh, in case you missed anything.
Oh, good.
And then they'll announce
their
plans shortly. Mm. Fox News is saying. Maybe they're going to reanimate Hitler. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. You can't even imagine what they might be plotting, can you, Carl?
Well, I imagine it's from the vault. I mean, we could be so lucky that it was somebody like Andrew Napolitano, who's a 9/11 truther.
Right.
Yeah.
We could be so lucky that it was somebody like Sarah Palin. Maybe they'll move Mike Huckabee from the weekend to the weekday.
Oh, there you go.
And maybe that's why he's not running. What we do know is that it really doesn't matter who they pick. They're going to be a crazy right winger.
Yep.
If they pick the liberal, I would be shocked.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I think then it's safe to say I'm out of the running.
Right. Well, they have not one liberal in their primetime programming. At least MSNBC has Joe Scarborough in the morning.
They only have 3 hours.
What about this is what Rupert would say to that. What about Greta Van Susteren?
No, she has her tongue so far up Newt Gingrich's butt.
Yeah.
Every single night.
And she's Sarah
night.
Palin's best friend.
Yeah.
And she thinks that judges should be allowed to choke other female judges.
Well, you heard about the strong arm of the law. I mean, that's all she cares about.
Sure, exactly.
Oh, of course, yeah.
All right. Did we play the Glenn Beck or not?
No, we did not.
Let's do it.
The only answer to millions in the Middle East is reestablishing a caliphate. These elitist dopes in the media can laugh all they want because they think a caliphate is, I don't know, some sort of fancy hors d'oeuvre. I've never had a caliphate before. does it have fish eggs on it? Now I like it, huh? They don't get it.
What kind of accent was that? Was that supposed to be a liberal elitist dope?
Oh, this is a French.
That was his French.
That's funny.
European accent. I think that was his generic European accent.
Huh.
And by the way, I do love a good caliphate with like a nice risotto.
Yes,
sure.
And some arugula, of course.
Okay. All right. Rush Limbaugh on the president.
Obama was lecturing us all about the importance of job creation, as though he knows anything about it. Mm. Believe me, folks, he doesn't. He's a parasite. He's like all liberals. They're parasites. They wait for everybody else to do the work, and then they feed off of it.
Mm.
And they assume, like all parasites do, that the host is always going to just be there. And the host is always going to be growing and doing what it does to be fed off of.
Mm.
What he doesn't understand, I don't know what he understands, but he is destroying the host.
Really?
You know what?
Wow, he could never have hoped to be the job creator that George Bush was.
Fat men who get their entire livelihood off of the backs of black presidents shouldn't talk about parasites.
That's right.
Nicely played. All right, Stuart Varney on the Fox Business.
When you start talk about cutting loopholes or filling loopholes or plugging loopholes, that means you're going to extract more money from somebody. Take it out of the private sector and give it to a wasteful government. That's what you're going to do.
Can you justify and sleep at night knowing $4 billion a year in tax breaks for the oil industry is acceptable?
Oh, I think it's wonderful. Yes. I want to encourage oil. I want to encourage oil. Encourage coal. That's what I want.
Whoa.
Wow. Yes, he wants more. They're not getting enough breaks, I guess.
This is what I call revenge from within, and it's all about the Revolutionary War. I believe he was placed here many eons ago to ruin us from within.
You take off that suit, there's a red jacket under it.
I believe it was Varney who said, you know, when Paul Revere was warning us that you would not give us your arms, we decided that we would put a sleeper cell on Fox News.
There you go. Charles Payne on the Fox Business. Mm.
Crib crackdown. As of today, the Consumer Protection Safety Commission has prohibited the sale or donation of any crib produced before July 23rd, 2010. This is absurd. Why does the government think it can say when a product is obsolete in our market? Mm. And why does it think it has the right to interfere with donations? I guess this means that from here on out, we'll see a lot more cribs and trash heaps instead of the Salvation Army or other nonprofits.
Hey, yeah. Idiot. The government is cracking down on these cribs because they were killing babies.
What kind of American baby can't stand a little collapse of their crib?
Wow.
In the country of John Wayne.
He is now accepting, by the way, all of your lead-based china.
Yeah.
Sure.
So he'd love to eat some food off of that for the rest of his life.
If you're an American baby, a crib collapses. So what? Eat a few paint chips.
Yeah, walk it off.
Yes.
What are you doing in a crib anyways? You should be at the factory working.
Should have a job.
Wow.
Okay. Let's end with Glenn Beck on the radio.
This is going to be so incredibly satisfying. I don't care if you are currently thinking about having relations with the hottest woman in the world in the next 30 minutes. Don't do it, because this will be more satisfying.
Oh, I doubt that. Oh, boy. He's just, it's gotten a little sad now, hasn't it?
Well, it's bizarre. All of those multiple personalities that he had going around inside of his head are now, like, breaking out through his mouth.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk to Angela Carasone on Stop Back, but it really isn't stunning. I mean, it's true, Carl. This is kind of the biggest flame-out we've ever seen in American media, isn't it? I mean, just his ratings and revenue and relevance, and he's like the crazy uncle in the attic now.
Well, I mean, he's always had one foot on the ladder up to the attic. I think this is just the beginning of it. I mean, when his little internet television thing, you know, launches and fails, I think we're going to see even worse. And I mean, remember, this is a guy who's doing worse on radio, He's doing worse on radio, and just like Limbaugh and Hannity.
Even he said his internet thing may be a little bit ahead of its time, which I've been there. It's not good to be ahead of your time. It's really better to be on time.
He's a prophet. He's a prophet, so of course he's ahead of his time.
Sure, of course. By the way, Carl, one more thing before you go.
Yeah.
We have to understand barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
You are nasty, nasty bad boy. Just wanted to let you know.
And I would love
that,
you know, if anybody wants to discipline this barbarian, I'll be at JR's tonight. here in Washington.
All right. Yay! All right. Yay. All right. Thank you, Carl Frisch.
Have a good week.
Yay for Carl Frisch. We'll see you next week. All right, 19.
Oh, boy. Did we need to know that about Carl?
I don't, but we do now.
Okay.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I love it! I don't get it, but I love it!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yay!
Thanks a lot. 25 minutes after the hour, David Bender, political strategist extraordinaire, just a couple of minutes. 1-800. He doesn't get a yay.
Yay!
What's not yay worthy about returning to Bender?
Yay!
Sample yay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, looky here, Wendy in New Hampshire with another unsolicited testimonial to the Step Show. Steph, going to the Wilbur Theater in Boston to be seeing you and the other sexy liberals in just a couple of weeks. Yay for that.
Yay!
I called my husband to inform him. This is just another letter about how really, truly, deeply weird our listeners are. Mm-hmm. And that is because we are truly, deeply weird.
Yes.
This is a really weird show.
It is.
We've dragged other people into our madness. I called my husband to inform him of this ever-so exciting event. It was at that moment I realized how much listening to you has changed my life. I used to be a happy, rather boring progressive lawyer who thought happy but boring progressive lawyer thoughts. Now, nothing in the thought bubble but, like, legal briefs, just, you know. Now I go through life. Where did my music go?
We're having problems.
Oops, something melted down. All right. Okay. Now I go through life humming. All right, I'll just make her a fine American.
Thank you.
Now I go through life humming and at times outright singing. Baby monkey riding on a pig. Me too. Chimpanzee riding on a Segway the night Chicago died, or whatever other god-awful earworm you've unleashed on your unsuspecting audience that day, droning huge, huge, when anyone mentions Donald Trump. And also, and shrilly saying also to you betcha every time someone mentions Sarah Palin. I must admit getting very odd looks from the uninitiated. I fear I may have to actually defend my sanity at a hearing with the responses I get to these outbursts. They've occurred at times which can best be described as inappropriate. So thanks. I may sound completely nuts, but at least I'm less boring. Can't wait to see you in Boston. Me too, Wendy! You big weirdo!
Yay!
Yay for weirdos! Yeah, I realized I was humming it before the show. I was like, na na na, baby mama. Okay. Good luck to all of us. So, good news for us happy clappy liberals, by the way.
Uh-huh.
We have, it was a good day, I think. Obama, I thought, kicked some ass yesterday in blunt challenge to Republicans. He insisted on an elimination of selected tax breaks for oil companies and the super wealthy must be included in any deficit reduction plan. The U.S. will push ahead with more targeted drone strikes and special operations raids and fewer costly land battles in Iraq and Afghanistan. Yay. In the continuing war against al-Qaeda, according to the new counterterrorism strategy unveiled yesterday. Again, a poll showing the public hugely behind his Afghanistan plan that he just released. And the legal future of the health care reform received a big boost after a federal appeals court ruled in favor of the Obama administration and Congress, including a key provision in the that the legislation was constitutional.
Woo!
Constitutional.
It was a good day.
And then this is the other headline. New York Times CBS poll, 70% of Republicans still hate all their choices.
Yes.
For president. Republican voters not satisfied with the candidates running for president, the Republican nomination, and wish they had more choices, according to a New York Times CBS News poll. None of the candidates currently hoping to challenge President Obama in 2012 earned enthusiastic support for more than 7% of Republican.
That is so sad.
Nine candidates have officially declared they're running for the Republican nomination. About 70% of Republican voters said they wish there were more candidates. Only 23% said they were satisfied with the current field. When asked to name a Republican presidential candidate they were enthusiastic about right now, two-thirds of Republicans voters said they were not excited by any of them. Mitt Romney and Michelle Bachmann did best. Each earned 7% of the Republican voters. Enthusiasm.
Yay!
7% say yay, and the other rest say you are. Oh, at least her husband will be an asset.
Yay!
We're going to be playing that all morning long, that Marcus Bachmann soundbite.
Oh, God. Thank you, God. All right. 29 minutes after the hour, back with political strategist extraordinaire David Bender next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
We need you around for a long time. Without you, we'd have to find some other sex-fueled depraved animal to entertain us.
So true. Yes. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number to join the party. Oh, yeah. You can't help yourself. You've got to go back. David Bender, our buddy, our pal.
David Bender.
It means a lot, doesn't it, Bender?
David Bender.
Yay, David Bender.
Good morning, David Bender.
Today, we are all barbarians.
You depraved barbarian
yay!
Animal. You need
and
to be.
That's worth a yay right there. You know, it
by
it
the
is,
way, in the words of immortal Marcus Bachmann.
The only answer.
Yeah.
Okay, hang on a second. Here
you
he
have
is.
To understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
Mm-hmm. There you go, David Bender. Have a little Marcus Bachmann.
It is so nice of you to share, and it's so nice of Michelle to share Marcus with the world.
Yes.
Now what was
he is a little Mary Sunshine.
This is the week in which she shared not only Marcus Bachmann, but she shared John Wayne Gacy with the world.
Yes.
You know, we hadn't thought of him in a long time, and it was so nice for her to go to Iowa, bring him up, remind people, and the good people of Waterloo that he was from there. They must have really loved that part. And not since Newt Gingrich launched the candidacy have you actually seen the ship going down from the dock.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. The Hindenburg. So, David Bender, you sent me this great piece from the New York Times because in terms of the historic marriage equality vote in New York and what that means, it really is frustrating. You, this piece says, you know, Governor Cuomo marched, of course, in the New York City Pride Parade. He said, you're going to see this message resonate all across the country now. If New York can do it, it's okay for every other place to do it. This piece pointing out, because we're frustrated out here in California and elsewhere, it says most states can't do what New York did. Their legislatures can't legalize gay marriage because their voters have passed ballot measures that prohibit it under state constitutions. The ballot measures were enacted years ago when gay marriage was unpopular. Now many of the old voters who oppose same-sex marriage are being replaced by young voters who support it. But the old electorate, through its constitutional amendments, has handcuffed the new electorate. The living are being ruled by the dead. I mean, it really is a great piece, right?
Yeah, it's like a horror movie. The living are being ruled by the dead.
Yes, it is. Night of the living homophobes.
And there is some truth to that, which is why so much of this is going to have to happen federally. That's why the Ted Olson, David Boies effort, Robin Michelle Reiner and people backing it from around the country to actually get the court to say that it is unconstitutional to do
yeah.
this.
Yeah, well, I mean, this
cannot
is...
cannot make minority rights by majority rule.
Well, that's what it feels like is happening to me, David. This piece in the Times that you sent also says, and we all remember the history of this, conservatives hustled to put anti-gay marriage constitutional amendments on state ballots. One reason for their haste was the Massachusetts ruling, right,
yep.
that you know, which set off alarms judges might impose gay marriage in other states. Another reason was that Republicans needed a scary issue to mobilize the religious right in the 2004 elections. The
a
third reason was that...
in which they put it on the ballot to
right.
help George Bush get reelected.
Yes, and yeah, thanks to Ken Mullman.
Yeah.
But the third reason was that the polls, from a conservative standpoint, were moving in the wrong direction. Conservatives often fret that traditional moral assumptions are unraveling in the case of gay marriage. They're right. Just a lot of good points in this article, right? As we go, you know, you go back and look at the history of this. So it goes on to say legislators are bound not by today's constituents, by yesterday's voters. Many of those voters aren't even around anymore. The strongest support for banning gay marriage nationally in nearly every state that has faced a referendum has come from old people.
absolutely.
Would it be indelicate at this point to just say,
for God's sake, just die?
I'm just saying, to old homophobes, specifically.
Well, that is sort of the death panel approach to, yes. to marriage equality, which we do not advocate here at
of
the
Of course
Stephanie
not.
Miller Show.
Of course not. But, I mean, let me just finish this piece you sent. It says gay marriage is becoming a majority position in part because people are changing their minds. That's true. Hearts and minds, right, like we always say in politics.
Yeah.
And in part because a generation that's okay with homosexuality is replacing a generation that wasn't. The question now is whether the new majority will get its way to undo the constitutional amendments of the past decade. Supporters of gay marriage will have to pass ballot measures in those states, which, you know, as a strategist is not easy. If the culture of the traditional family has enshrined in these constitutions is wrong, if marriage is moral and healthy regardless of sexual orientation, then the walls erected by those ballot measures are a prison inflicted on the old, by the old on the young. And that legacy, unlike marriage, is a bond that death alone can't break. I mean, a great piece, right, about where we're at?
It is a great piece. And the New York Times has done some fantastic reporting. Some of what I thought was amazing was seeing how Andrew Cuomo, as a governor, as a leader, worked behind the scenes to make this happen. That too, is an amazing story in and of itself. But to your point, first off, we've got the same thing playing out going forward. We've got Minnesota, which is going to have on the November 2012 ballot, Minnesota, which potentially could be a swing state. It's a state where they think that there are enough Michelle Bachmanns and Tim Pawlentes to actually carry Minnesota against Barack Obama. So to tip that, they have also put a constitutional amendment on the ballot for Minnesota. So we're going to have another fight.
But why do I get the sense, David, this is not going to play out the same way it did for George Bush in 2004, do you think?
You know, I would say I agree that the electorate keeps shifting. Every poll shows that. But this is all about who the energized voters are. If you would put one of these initiatives on the ballot in 2010, it would have passed overwhelmingly, given the composition of the electorate. We saw the people who put John Boehner and Eric Cantor in the leadership of the House. These people who voted in November of 2010 were overwhelmingly people who would vote against gay marriage, if that's the composition of the electorate next November. So that's the real question. Who's motivated? Who's energized by this? Our side has to be if we're going to balance out, you know, the hatred.
Yeah, I mean, look, David, you know I'm from upstate New York, which is not, which is fairly conservative. So, you know, New York State is not, you know, as, like I say, everywhere, you know, this sort of raging liberal state. I mean, does the president have to look at Andrew Cuomo's approval rating, which has shot up, of course, to 64% in the latest Quinnipiac poll? He's actually opened the door to running for president in 2016, as you know.
He opened the door. I think he has removed the door from its hinges.
Yeah.
He is, that is not a closet door anymore.
Yeah.
Andrew Cuomo will be running for president in 2016. But the fact that he is doing it in the same way that Gavin Newsom thought it was a smart strategy in San Francisco when he started performing gay marriages as the mayor of San Francisco. And Gavin Newsom intended to run for statewide office. He had other problems that may have hurt him, but in fact, in the Prop 8 campaign, they used Gavin Newsom's own words against him. You remember that campaign.
Right.
And it was effective, and it hurt him. Now, he wound up getting elected lieutenant governor. He dropped out of the governor's race. And so Newsom's career is going forward. Cuomo's career has only been boosted by this around the country.
And you look at poll numbers all your life. Look at these numbers. Cuomo gets 75% support from Democrats, 61% of independents. Even among Republicans, he gets the support of the majority, 53%. Approve. I mean,
that's about the economy. That's what he's been doing. Mm-hmm. The fact that he has come in and been tough and got a budget passed and did the things that people want a governor to do gave him the space to do this. And the reason right now that you didn't hear Barack Obama at the press conference yesterday when he was asked right out of the box by Chuck Todd, what's your position on the constitutionality of marriage equality? And his answer and the follow-up from the Wall Street Journal, I'm not going to, I have the best record of all presidents preceding me on this issue.
True.
And he picked it off, and it is absolutely true that he does. But he said, you're not going to hear me making news today.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason for that, because that what will happen is they will say, there he goes again. He is the socialist in chief. He's simply trying to change our culture. He doesn't care about jobs, doesn't care about the economy.
Well,
and that's how they'll use it.
Well, let me get your take on that. I was reading another piece. I mean, there's so many, you know, pieces, I think, to this issue, you know, and it is a whole new day, obviously, from 2004. But the piece I'm reading, I forget where this is, it says, don't discount same-sex marriage as a potent influence on voters in this election cycle. Next year, the Supreme Court might consider the constitutionality of the one section of the Defense of Marriage Act, right? So if the Supreme Court agreed prior to Election Day that it would consider a challenge to DOMA, that would place the marriage issue squarely in the middle of the presidential campaign. The president said, we've said DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, is unconstitutional. We cannot defend the federal government poking its nose into what states are doing and putting the thumb on the scale against same-sex couples. He praised, obviously, the New York legislature, right, for passing marriage equality.
He said what he thought but happened in New York was a good thing.
Right, but the point of this article is Supreme Court DOMA case might force the president to face the implications of the justices changing the state's marriage laws rather than the state legislatures changing them. So,
I've said for a while, we've talked about this before, said for a while that I thought that it was unlikely before November of 2012 that he was going to try and get out front on this, because then all of the oxygen is sucked out of the room.
Right.
And it becomes that, and they get to demagogue that, and we know that they will. Having said that, if it is put into the debate by the fall campaign, if it is the president versus a Republican nominee, and then it's a binary choice on how do you stand on DOMA? He's against it. How do you stand on the challenge to Prop 8 in California? That could be on the court's docket as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to come up in the fall.
Here's the political part. Again, as you know, Howard Dean, strategist, and you worked on every campaign. Nine states are among...
Rutherford Hayes, we were on that together.
Rutherford Hayes, you and I worked on that together. Nine states which are among the likely 2012 presidential battlegrounds have provisions in their constitution, you know, asserting marriage is one man and one woman. Ohio, Virginia, Florida, Arizona, Colorado, Michigan, Missouri, Nevada, and Wisconsin. Obama won seven of those states. Eight of the nine also have Senate races expected to be competitive. So, you know, the point of this piece is, could 2012 be another 2004 when the issue motivated conservative voters in Ohio and other states? And that's what they're saying 2004 hinged on was Ohio.
It did. And you can see, I mean, I've gone down, drilled down in those numbers, and the number of evangelical Christians who turned out increased dramatically in Ohio. The margin was enough, and particularly John Kerry was carrying 94% of the African-American, 92% of the African-American community nationwide. He carried less than 90%, I think it was the mid-80s, in Ohio. That was the difference. And those were people who, by all accounts, had been motivated by their church leaders to get out and vote on this marriage thing. It was a tactic, and all credit where it's due. It was Karl Rove even more than Ken Mellman. Ken Mellman didn't oppose it, but Karl Rove did it. And Karl Rove, in those same states that you just ticked off,
it's
on the air right now with commercials focusing like a laser on what they really are about, which is to say that the president has made the economy worse. That's how this, that's the ground on which this election will be fought. The economy.
But David, if you're advising the president, what do you advise him on this issue, before 2012?
I think what he's doing right now is right. He is sending a message. If there are dog whistles, I'm hearing him. I'm hearing him say gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender at the press conference. I don't think I've ever heard a president say transgender.
No,
right.
Not at all.
Right.
And in fact, when he went to that event in New York, this is the first time a sitting president had ever gone to the GLBT community and said, well, I need your help.
Let's listen to what you were just talking about.
This administration, under my direction, has consistently said we cannot discriminate as a country against people on the basis of sexual orientation. And we have done more in the 2.5 years that I've been in here than the previous 43 presidents to uphold that principle.
And that's absolutely true.
Yeah, I mean, this is David. I got it. And, as a happy, clappy liberal, this is what annoys me. I'm reading this article, and, of course, there's a couple of gay guys in the picture with a sign saying, stop funding Obama's bigotry. I mean, you are comparing him to Michelle Bachmann and everybody on the right that would put Don't Ask, Don't Tell back in place, would write, discrimination into the Constitution. And Obama's still the bigot, I guess, to some people in the gay community. I mean, it makes me crazy.
And there are still people who say he is as big a warmonger as George Bush, even though he's the one who's unwinding the commitment in Iraq and has said that he's moving forward getting us out of Afghanistan. Do we think it is as much as he could do? No. As much as we would want him to do? Absolutely not. But has he been moving the country in the direction he promised in the right way? Yes, is the answer to that. And people who compare him to Bush or say that it doesn't matter if a Republican gets elected aren't paying attention.
Yep, absolutely. David Bender, who is fabulous.
And Bendy,
yay for that.
I read something about Bendy yesterday which deeply disturbed me. What you're talking about, Bendy as a sexual
Cirque
position
Soleil
yesterday?
Kind of thing.
Oh, yes, I am Bendy on stage at the Sexy Liberal Show.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was recalling...
I thought you were honoring... I thought it was homage to me, and now...
Hal was saying that it's like... that I used to just sit there, and now I'm like... it's like Cirque du Soleil. I'm just flipping around.
Now you're Bendy. Mm-hmm. Well,
I was recalling... Oh, actually, I was recalling the kind of bigoted tourist that was in front of me when I saw Cirque du Soleil in Vegas many years ago, and the lights came up, and he said to his wife, I like them Oriental Bendy chicks. They was good.
Good. It gives me something to aspire to.
Yes. All right.
Love you, guys.
Love you, too, David.
Love you.
We will return to you next week.
Yay, David.
48 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 53 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere to join the party. By the way, somebody is a dirty little tweeter this morning.
Why?
Who is it that tweeted me? Someone tweeted and said, does anyone else's gaydar go off when Marcus Bachmann is other guys off? Maybe. A little.
That was raising one brow on Twitter. Mm.
Victoria says, gayest husband ever. Uncle Arthur Gay.
Yeah.
Oh, Marcus.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. Mm-hmm. They need to be disciplined.
The homosexuals. Didn't he say homosexuals in the beginning to that? What happened with that? I thought that's what he was talking about. Let's hear the whole thing again. I think it bears repeating.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined. And just because someone feels it or thinks it doesn't mean that we're supposed to go down that road. That's what's called sinful nature. Yeah. Mm. And we have a responsibility as parents and as authority figures not to encourage such thoughts and feelings to move into the action steps. That's why when we understand what truly is the percentage of homosexuals in this country is small. But by these open doors, I can see and we are experiencing that it is starting to increase.
Okay. That is super, super duper. Thanks for that.
It's really disturbing.
I think it's time to play top or power bottom.
Oh.
Most
definitely power bottom. Are you kidding me?
Well, I don't know.
There ain't no top in that.
Richard writes, since her husband's doctorate is bogus and he's taken money from Medicaid, should he be prosecuted? Oh, good point. He should be disciplined at least.
Yeah, it's
he should have an authority figure of some sort. Punish him.
Why is he getting taxpayer money for this provably dangerous reparative therapy that he does?
Yeah, would you like some fun facts on that?
Oh, boy.
And not only that, it's that horrible government, that socialist money is what they're doing it with. Documents reveal Bachman benefited from and relied upon government-funded earmarks. And by the way, when she goes on to explain this stuff, do any of the anchors say that's just complete bull?
No, they don't call her out on it.
Oh, that money was a one-time thing for training and such. How is that not money that benefits your clinic? It is government money. Oh, that's for something else. It's not important. Michelle Bachman refusing to come clean about the public money she and her husband have received. Bachman and her husband received around $290,000 in public funding. Yikes! Some $260,000 in subsidies given to a farm in which she is a partner, and try to claim that she's not really. Oh, that's not my farm. What? Close to $30,000 given to her husband's clinic, where he obviously successfully degays people.
News stories don't point out what kind of clinic it is. They just say it's a clinic.
Founded by Dr. Marcus Bachman, thank please and thank you. Mm. He's a doctor of discipline. In the summer of 2003, Minnesota, Bachman & Associates, Incorporated, touts itself as a clinic that provides its patients with quality Christian counseling. Should this be funded by the government?
Absolutely not.
And received $137,000 in Medicaid funds, which she calls welfare. Bachman, according to Think Progress Review, was not truthful at all about her government-funded support. Michelle Bachman on the campaign trail? Michelle Bachman.
We have an urgency right now in this country to take the country back. Whether it's on the economy with too much spending, whether it's dealing with debt accumulation that our children will have to pay back and that, quite frankly, will have to pay back, or whether it's dealing with the threats that we have coming at us, both domestically and from foreign shores, against our security. On every level, there's a sense of urgency in the country.
Yes. Okay. All right. Michelle Bachman downplayed tensions with Sarah Palin. Did you see this? She said they want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight. I'm sorry. They both have some of the gay on them, as I'm just saying. Seriously? And I'm not going to give it to them. This is so high school. And then I'll tell you after the break, I'll tell you what. Wait, did we break here?
Yeah, we do, actually.
I'll tell you what Bristol Palin. This is so high school. I'll tell you what Bristol Palin said. 58 minutes after the hour, all of that as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, stephaniemiller.com, the website, sexyliberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. Jim, mm-hmm. who said as the singer of Walking on Sunshine, I don't endorse its use by Michelle Bachmann's presidential campaign. The song is used in commercials and movies as a vehicle for a feel-good moment or empowerment, but if I disagree with the policies, opinions, or platforms for its use, I have no choice but to try to defend the song and prevent its misuse. Music can be both powerful and moving and sometimes even a little dangerous. Who said that?
Tom Petty.
No, that's really bad. Guess Katrina. My friend Katrina of Katrina the Witch, who I noticed
Petty.
She has not asked
Stephanie Miller
not to use Walking on Sunshine because she likes me. Yay!
She really likes you.
I met her in the New York studio.
That's
but right.
Tom Petty also went after her for using American Girl without permission.
That's true. All right, so it wasn't that bad a guess. The important thing is today's hourly sponsor.
K to the J to the I L in the hizzy. Happy birthday, Bob Marvel. Love and kisses. Came out!
Okay, if you'd like to sponsor
me, that guy Bob Marble,
show.
In case he's
Bob Marble.
Okay.
All
right.
Bob Marble. That's Tom Brown.
Go to the sponsorship page at StephanieMiller.com. Oh, boy. We do. We have the weirdest little show and the weirdest little listeners. Dan writes, Mama, I love you more than the pickled umbilical cord on my desk.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Hope he are we work getting in a deli. Weirder, or are our listeners getting weirder?
It's a little of both.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Hmm. All right. Sexy Liberal news. Sexy Liberal show in Malaysia. Hey, Steph, I got your program on Stitcher. Heard you and Hal talking about Malaysian Airlines. Oh, they don't have babies anymore. They won't allow babies.
Mm-hmm.
Just thought I'd let you know, if you guys ever do a show here, you're guaranteed at least one fan in the audience. Regards, Aaron in Kuala Lumpur.
Malaysia. I'm from Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia.
I think that'll probably
almost
be
almost as bad as a Hummer.
That'll probably be not be next up on the Sexy Liberal Tour. We may get to Kuala Lumpur. You know, since I'm flying all the time now, I've had almost every mishap. As I mentioned, I was between two. I flew giant white fat guy airlines.
Yes,
on the way back. Yeah, I was. I was James Franco, and I was in the crevasse in between the middle seat between them, and I did have to hack my own arm off to get out.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I just, one hand just came up for the Chardonnay, just hand the Chardonnay through here.
You got betcha.
It's only a little bottle. It'll fit through here.
Yeah.
This has not happened to me, but probably will, Jim. New York City airport invaded by turtles. I don't know if that was Mitch McConnell or
Mitch McConnell.
About 150 turtles crawled onto the tarmac at New York's Kennedy.
At Kennedy?
Delaying dozens of flights. Yeah, they want to lay their eggs because it's by the bay there. Yeah.
That's,
Yeah.
Well, they had to move the runway, clearly.
Ladies and gentlemen, we need to...
Mitch
McConnell is blocking the runway.
Make sure that those turtles will not have to face the certain doom of being run over by a 777.
We're all right.
The runways. It's more hospitable.
That'd be funny if the pilot actually listened to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a slight delay while we clear Mitch McConnell and the other turtles off the runway here, Jim.
Mitch McConnell and his family.
Mitch McConnell's family are migrating.
He's just trying to lay his eggs.
Somebody, the guy with JetBlue is actually funny. He said next time we hope for faster animals.
Yeah. A cheetah, maybe.
Yeah, that wouldn't take a gazelle, something. Yeah. No, turtles.
Cheetahs chasing gazelles across the runway. It's just a second.
Okay. Because Long Island is ripe with cheetahs.
Well, cougars.
Cheetah, that wouldn't even be a
delay. Cougars, yes.
A cheetah wouldn't even be a delay. It would just be like, what was that?
Huh?
What was that? All right, it's gone now, whatever it was.
Oh, wow. Bot fly.
All right, kids. Oh, by the way, do we have Gimme Tucson up the chute here? I forgot about that. That's coming up next on Sexy Liberal. But we have a lot of great new photos and stuff up at Sexy Liberal on Facebook at sexyliberal.com. We have Tucson coming up next Saturday, July 9th, Boston, Saturday, July 16th. Then Aisha Tyler in Santa Fe, August 6th with us in Detroit. We have October is going to be a little off the hook, can I just say? Oh, first of all, September, we have Asheville, North Carolina. And then October, it's the extravaganza. We have Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco. And then, what is it, November is Austin and Buffalo. Check it out for all those dates. I am caving to doing a second show pressure in some of those cities, and we'll probably have to explain that tomorrow.
Oh, dear.
Yes. All right. But up next, kids, get them.
Tucson, looking to light up your sunshine factory? The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to set your mind aglow with their famous brand of progressive comedy.
Arizona really wants to guess. Happiness, Arizona.
where a man can walk down the street and have himself a drink without having to check the mirror and see who's gunning after him.
On July 9th at Tucson's Centennial Hall, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Talk Radio's Woman of the Year, Stephanie Miller, will entertain you with their deep liberal thoughts and comedy so wide it could fill the Grand Canyon.
We just want to hear the truth.
Tickets are available online at uapresents.org, by calling 520-621-3341, or by visiting the Centennial Hall box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Centennial Hall on July 9th. Sexy Liberals of Tucson, get ready to show those progressive papers.
Yes, yeah, I mean, yes. Sorry, I hit the wrong button. Yes, and it's our only date in Arizona. Phoenix, folks, you got to come on over. We're trying to get everywhere, but we just can't get everywhere in the, this year. So please, please come to Tucson if you're even if you're listening in Phoenix as well. Only time in Arizona this
it's
year.
It's only an hour and a half drive down the 10. Come on.
Jim, you understand that the comedy gods have smiled on us this morning and given us this Marcus Bachman soundbite.
I almost didn't make enough time because I was disciplining my barbarians. You know how time-consuming that can be.
He sounds exactly like what I thought he would sound
yeah.
like, which is awesome.
Yeah.
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined. And just because someone feels it or thinks it doesn't mean that we're supposed to go down that road.
Go down.
That's what's called the sinful nature. Mm-hmm. And we have a responsibility as parents and as authority figures not to encourage such thoughts and feelings to move into the action steps. That's why when we understand what truly is the percentage of homosexuals in this country, it's small. But by these open doors, I can see
open doors.
Are experiencing that it is starting to increase.
It's starting to grow.
There's just not enough whips in the world to discipline all the barbarians out there. I'm only one man.
I think Marcus Bachman is a nasty, dirty, nasty, naughty little boy.
And now, Jim, the magic continues. We will post this at our Facebook page, but Jason has sent us, yes, it is a picture of Ted Haggard, Marcus Bachman, and Michelle Bachman together.
Oh, wow.
Fabulous. We don't have to debate about what we should think about homosexual activity. It's written in the Bible.
Fabulous. I think I know what you did last night.
Fabulous.
Oh
dear.
Ted Haggard is in the middle, yes. Arms around both Marcus and Michelle.
Oh.
In a loving sort of
bear hug.
Embrace. Okay. Thank you, Jason, for that. And thank you, God.
And thank you, baby Jeebus.
Thank you, baby Jeebus, for that.
Jeebus?
Marcus Bachman. See, what happens is we do little skits on the Stephanie Miller Show, and then they come true.
Yeah.
It's where dreams come true, the Stephanie Miller Show. Well, it's where my dreams go to die, but most other people's dreams come true.
It's like we're the radio version of The Secret. We wished it, and it came.
Yes.
It was.
Yesterday, Hal Sparks improvised a hilarious bit about Marcus Bachman singing Holding Out for a Hero in the back of the campaign bus. And, you remember back the Clinton impeachment. You remember Linda Tripp and Monica Lewinsky sounded exactly like we thought they would. We do the skits,
she
and then they
sound
turn.
Exactly like that, Linda Tripp. She looked
close
like
enough.
She looked like it, though.
And my Monica Lewinsky was eerie. Come on.
Yeah, that's
when
true.
The tapes came out, I was like, oh, God. Exactly. All right.
It was.
I mean, can I just say Marcus Bachman? A little better than I hoped for.
It is. It really is.
Yay, is all I can say. Being disciplined.
Yay!
She's just very pleased with her new pantsuit.
Oh, my God. He totally goes shopping for
That was a joke on the show. I didn't really realize that he was.
He really does.
He does his.
Okay. I thought, oh, it's kind of a joke. And, he's in the gay reach around outreach. Stuff like Ted Haggard, and it's too magical for words, the whole thing. It's just, and she really, it is completely, and then we keep playing the Waiting for Guffman drops. It is exactly like Waiting for Guffman. She seems to have absolutely no idea.
Right. And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Yay.
Okay.
We've got to have a president who not only gets what's wrong with the economy, but who also understands job creation. And to do that, one of the first things we need to do, and I'm here to tell you, I am fully committed to the full-scale repeal of Obamacare.
Right.
Yay!
Yeah.
Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. Marcus! Get on the box!
Ring, 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 goes the bell.
Yay!
The moment I saw her, I fell for Ted Haggard. No!
I think Roland, our tour director, said that that drop reminds him of Paul Lynde singing in Bye Bye Birdie. That drop reminds me of
Paul Lynde was playing straight in Bye Bye Birdie, wasn't he? Or was he?
Was he?
I don't know.
God bless his heart.
To the extent that he could.
Yes. Yeah, well, bless his heart.
Sure, bless his little heart. Yeah, and then Squeezy, did you see this one? Michelle Bachman yesterday said of Sarah Palin, she said they want to see two girls come together and have a mud wrestling fight.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it to them. She's going to tease you. God, this is so high school. And then Bristol Palin said, Michelle Bachman totally stole my mom's look.
What a batch.
God.
Totally stole her act.
Bristol Palin has been saying that Michelle Bachman has been jockeying her mother's signature style. She said, I think she dresses a lot like my mom. A lot of women have done that in the last few years. I think it's odd, you know, seeing people with red blazers and their hair up and glasses. I don't know if she's wearing glasses, but you want to be like, you're all like, and she actually said that.
And they're all, and like,
you're
all, like, and they're all like,
do you think people don't know this? You're dressing like my mom?
And I'm all like,
you know, and I'm all like, I'm all articulate like my mom, and she's all
totally.
Like, it also too.
I don't.
Right? Totally.
Republican women all dress alike. That's just their thing.
Yeah, right. You're bad, baby.
When we went to the Republican National Convention,
they all looked exactly the same.
It was really creepy.
They all looked startled, like, you know,
Calista,
Mrs. Gingrich.
Yeah, Calista Gingrich.
She has a very Mrs. McCain look. She has that alien and V lizard, eyelid things.
Well, Calista, I think, had her eyelids surgically removed so she could watch Newt.
Keep an eye on
times.
Newt, yes. Yeah. Yeah, she had her eyelids removed. Perhaps. We don't have definitive information.
Alleged.
But have you seen her eyelids? No.
Computer says
no. So prove that I'm lying.
I think I saw her eyelids on a milk carton.
Really? And probably Cindy McCain has, because, you know, just to look out for a left hook or something. I'm just saying, because there is some, you know, anger management issues that have been talked about in
that family.
Tabloids. Mm-hmm. So just, I'm saying, need to keep their eyes open. Just see what's coming. Okay.
That was a lot of conjecture in that segment.
Well, there was no mention about she can unhinge her jaw.
Like, and eat a gerbil whole?
Well, now it's been mentioned.
Maybe a wildebeest.
An ibex.
Anything that can cross the runway at JFK,
yes,
she could presumably unhinge her jaw and eat. See how I brought it magically? We'll circle back to the turtle story.
She could be a helper for JFK.
Mrs. McCain, could you unhinge your jaw?
We got a turtle problem.
We got some wildlife issues on the runway.
And a used car salesman, but that's a whole different...
Oh, dear.
19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, it is the Stephanie Miller Show, 25 minutes after the hour. Yeah, Jim has pointed out something interesting about the picture of Marcus and Michelle Bachman and Ted Haggard in the middle of them.
Mm-hmm.
He has his arms around both of them, and she looks very startled, doesn't she, Jim? And
it looks like Ted Haggard was getting
excited about her husband.
About touching her husband.
She looks like, oh!
Oh, my!
Is that a little,
I haven't felt one of those in a long time.
Pat! Are you getting a little chubby from... Marcus, what are you looking at? Yeah, she looks very startled. Because clearly, like, Tegar is looking at her husband in the picture.
I'm going to have to discipline this barbarian.
And Michelle Bachman's looking like, what is... I have not felt this in years! What the hell?
We have to understand... Barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no safe word.
Okay. All right, I don't know why. You have to do a story where the headline is Amish man accused of sexting Indiana girl 12,600 times, showing up at her house in a horse and buggy.
How do you sext with
when you're Amish?
Aren't you not supposed to...
Can you do that with an abacus?
An Amish man who sent more than 600 text messages that included lewd images to a 12-year-old girl he randomly dialed was arrested when he arrived in his horse and buggy for what he thought was a meeting for sex.
Oh, wow. It's,
Can you sext while you're in a buggy? I don't think so. Is that the same as driving? I don't know. You're not supposed to sext or text while you're... Okay.
Were there iPhones in the 19th century? I wasn't aware of that. I don't know.
Okay, Dennis, in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the President. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. I got two quick things. I hope you don't hang up on me. I was going to talk about the President's press conference yesterday. It is so deceiving when he gives those buzzwords of millionaires and billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
The top 2% is mostly made up of people of $250,000. That's small business owners.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
It is true.
No, it is not true.
Okay, tell me how it's not true.
Because it's not.
Because it's not true.
Facts have a liberal bias.
Yeah, that's
right. Go to IRS.gov and you can see for yourself.
The
top 2% is mostly made up of people.
No, that is incorrect, sir.
Okay, all right,
let's get to your second point, which is also
okay. Second point is the tax breaks that the president was demonizing yesterday about the jet airplanes is his own tax breaks that was in the stimulus plan. He tried to get people to buy airplanes in the stimulus plan. That's his own tax breaks he's demonizing and trying to demagogue and make it out to look like it's conservative.
Sir, I think he was making a point, which is absolutely true, about what Republican priorities are and what Democratic priorities are.
Yep.
They want to give tax breaks to big oil, to the top 1%, and you know, Democrats want those people to pay their fair share. There is just a fundamental difference. He was using that to say, because the things he talked about them cutting, those are the things they want to cut. He said, if you want, you know, X, Y, and Z to have tax breaks, whether it's, you know, big oil, corporate jet owners, in order to cut education, and I can't remember what else exactly he said.
That cut health care for seniors.
Yeah, that is exactly what they're proposing to cut.
He said he wasn't going to use scare tactics, and he turned around and started talking
But they're not
about
scare tactics. That's what Republicans
facts.
Want to cut.
They are
won't
facts.
Be able to go to college because of jet people driving around in jets. Is that not what? Scare tactics?
Here. Play. Give me this one. This is what Dennis is talking about here, and then I am going to hang up.
It would be nice if we could keep every tax break there is. But we've got to make some tough choices here if we want to reduce our deficit. And if we choose to keep those tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires, if we choose to keep a tax break for corporate jet owners, if we choose to keep tax breaks for oil and gas companies that are making hundreds of billions of dollars, then that means we've got to cut some kids off from getting a college scholarship.
Yes, among other things that Republicans want to cut. Exactly. Facts scary. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Paul Tonko joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
So what's new?
Stephanie Miller.
My life is empty and has no meaning.
I asked you what's new.
What's that for? Hmm?
34 minutes after the hour. We were saying our right-wing caller, as usual, Jim.
Yeah, untrue.
Yes, exactly. They throw out their little facts.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say? Well, what is the actual fun fact?
The actual fun fact is that the stimulus only accelerated the depreciation of corporate jets.
Yeah.
The tax break did not originate with the stimulus. So,
yes.
So lying Dennis in South Carolina was lying.
That's our idea.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find
Dennis.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap.
Yes. Because they do. They throw these things out, and you're like, you know what? That smells like me.
Yeah, that's.
But I can't. It was Obama's.
It's on the
tax
IRS
break.
Website.
It's in the stimulus, the private jet thing. That's his. I was like, no, I don't think
no
so.
That's not true.
Okay. All right, then. He was using it to illustrate a really good point about Republican and Democratic priorities, and I thought that it was very compelling. He, you know, said, look, yeah, you can keep this and this for millionaires and billionaires, mm-hmm. but then we cut, you know, education funding, we cut, deny seniors health care. The president, again, real quick. This is President
Obama. Before we ask our seniors to pay more for health care, before we cut our children's education, before we sacrifice our commitment to the research and innovation that will help create more jobs in the economy, I think it's only fair to ask an oil company or a corporate jet owner that has done so well to give up that tax break that no other business enjoys.
Why do you hate America?
He didn't answer that. Hmm. All right. Representative Paul Tongo, one of our favorites from the great state of New York, upstate Mama's hometown area. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks.
We just played some sound, but I thought the president was very strong yesterday.
He was very strong, and it was great to have him outline the differences that exist out there, because the business at the negotiating table has got to move forward. We have precious little time, and people have to understand that there has to be balance here. It can't just be spending cuts that impact most severely on America's middle class and then just suggest that that's the answer. That is unacceptable, and we're going to continue to fight.
And
try and build the understanding of what we're trying to do here.
And he also said, you know, lawmakers are not working as hard as he does or as hard as his young daughters do to get their homework done. He said they don't wait till the night before. They're not pulling all-nighters. Congress can do the same thing. If you know you're going to do something, just do it. Republicans are just not on the level in claiming that he hasn't been sufficiently involved in the talks on reducing the deficit.
Well, those of us who can remember college days where we let term papers go to the last minute.
That was me.
Understand that we can't do that here. I mean, the clock is ticking, and August 2nd looms in the near future, and there's a lot of decision-making to be done, and you can't, I think, penalize and paralyze middle-class America by doing all of this balancing and deficit reduction and budgeting by cutting just domestic programs and not visiting revenues and mindless handouts to oil companies. And I think, you know, the president did a great job of highlighting the differences. I mean, you look at what the Dems want for closure. And, you know, going back to your previous call, the whole corporate jet situation, the write-off there needs to be sacrificed. And the mindless handouts to big oil need to stop, especially that they've had two successive years of historic profit columns. And we also need to address the LIFO accounting for the oil industry, where the last in, first out is, as a concept, is enabling the oil companies to pay taxes on the cheapest price per barrel. And so they're, you know, getting yet another benefit that way. And we need to look at the itemized deductions that many suggest should be eliminated for those households, those individuals over $500,000. Right. So, you know, it's a balancing act, and it's asking people to do that, to have those priorities I just mentioned, rather than embracing the GOP priorities, which are to end Medicare, impact the National Weather Service.
And this is the misinformation, you know, Representative, I don't know if you heard this right-wing caller, but he said, you know, most of the top 2% are small business owners that make $250,000 a year. It is absolutely flat-out incorrect. That's what they, you know, they keep trying to put out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'll mention one that affects my district, because we're looking to address a growing business in my district that is food-related, food industry-related. And food inspectors
right.
would be reduced under their plan, all while I'm trying to bring in that added personnel so that we can grow more shifts that provide jobs for employees here. And I just think it's counter-work.
That's right. And you know what? Obviously, the American people, if you look at any poll, are on your side and the president's side. He warned Republicans Americans are not interested in cutting food inspections or weather forecasting to pay for tax breaks for big business and the rich. He said everyone's
college.
Right. He said everyone else has been willing to move off their maximalist position. They need to do the same.
Right. I mean, I just went to a score of graduations, high school graduations, where, you know, the promise of our future is there walking off the stage. These students are anxious to go forward and pursue their dreams. To kill that spirit by reducing Pell Grant opportunities by some $850, people will say, oh, well, the $850 they'll have to find. That may be the total block for that person to go forward and really, you know, release her skills for society, or to have this gentleman pursue his dream, how noble it might be, and have it denied by an insensitivity addressed in the budget negotiations by the Republicans.
Well, I mean, as you say, August 2nd is looming, and, you know, he made a good point. He said a lot of people say a lot of things to satisfy their base or get on cable news. Hopefully leaders at a certain point rise to the occasion and do the right thing for the American people. That's what I expect to happen this time. Call me naive, but my expectation are leaders are going to lead. He argued for a balanced approach that looks at everything. I think what the frustration is, I know on the left, Congressman, is that he always does this, and they don't ever seem to, you know, budge. I mean, what's going to happen this time, honestly?
Right. I think that, you know, as push comes to shove here, my hope is that as we get more information out as to what their priorities are, and when we address the needs of middle-income America, the working families of this country, and how those needs would be denied with their proposal, I think the public pressure will build to the point where, you know, it's either shut down government, destroy the economy. If we don't get this done, I think we could put our national economy into another skid. And that kind of calamity is not what we need right now. It would destroy, I think, not only our national economy, but the international economy.
Well, in fact, as we were talking about with our right-wing caller, you know, facts are a scary thing. I mean, what they keep saying, right, I mean, their only defense seems to be, oh, this is a job killer. You know, the justification for their position, but income inequality is at its worst level since the 1920s.
Absolutely.
They keep saying raising taxes, which is not raising them, obviously. It's,
well,
you know
what they call it? They call this a job killer, right? So
right.
Let's just take the subsidies from the oil company. They are mindless. They've been going for decades. They've had this, and the federal government just says, okay, here's your subsidy. So much so that when they testified at the table in Washington, they said it would be un-American to end those subsidies. Well, let's look at what happens with that. 60-90% of the subsidies have been applied to enhance CEO salaries. And if you look at some of the oil companies within the industry, their blue-collar workforce count is down.
Right. And well,
so
I mean, I'm looking at, you know, right in front of me.
Killing.
In the past 60 years, job growth has actually been greater in years when top income tax rate was much higher than it is now. If you rank each year since 1950 by overall job growth, the top 5 years would all boast marginal tax rates at 70% or higher. The top 10 years, which are marginal tax rates at 50% or higher. The two worst years were 2008 and 2009 when the tax rate was 35%. I mean,
there you go. So
right.
the correlation that they try to establish is almost the reverse. It's the antithesis of what they're of which they're speaking, and so I think we have to be, again, relying on facts. We have to pull documents forward and say, hey, look, the trickle down that you anticipated, that you support, and we have two recent elements from history to prove that wrong, don't drive jobs.
Right.
And what we need right now is to address the deficit, and the unemployment is driving the deficit. And so we need to go forward with those opportunities where we invest in R&D. I just went to a company this week in the capital region that I represent here in New York State, and they are putting on people, they are growing jobs, and the opportunities from the grant that they got from DARPA enables them not only to address an application to water supply, because it's this antibacteria situation that they're growing as a product, but it can also be applied to air and surface materials. So they're working with Harvard now on addressing bacteria in hospital rooms.
Yep.
So this is like, this grows the whole job creation to the point where jobs not yet on the radar screen get produced because of the
right.
R&D investment.
Well, so the bottom
ran away, and my district right. would have lost those jobs.
Right. I mean, the bottom line is the president has said we have to get this done. There is a hard deadline. He warned waiting too long can spook capital markets and prompt investors to bail. You know, he basically said cancel your vacation, stay in session. You know, and here we are, Boehner, drew a line in the sand. He said the president is sorely mistaken if he believes a bill to raise the debt ceiling raise taxes would pass the House. The votes simply aren't there. So
where does this go? I think, again, we have to build public pressure. The public sentiment will drive this. And as I think you're going to hear from Wall Street, you're going to hear from the business community. As you just said, consumer confidence will be weakened because of our lack of action. And certainly the economy, if it starts sliding backward, will devastate the kind of progress that we were able to achieve for a year and a quarter, where we grew 2.2 million jobs in the private sector. And then I think this whole discussion on the debt ceiling limit began to drive down consumer confidence, and the energy crunch that we were experiencing with reduced production in the Mideast and with growing costs at the pump destroyed again the growth pattern that we were enjoying. But I think we can bounce back from that if we do the right thing here and bring balance to the negotiations and bring a sense of outcome that impacts all of us, where everyone is asked to give somewhat in order to grow an economy. And when you think of it, if you empower the middle class, if you strengthen the middle class purchasing power, everybody wins. Somebody needs to buy your product. Those perched on the top, someone needs to buy your product. You need a workforce of the future, getting the education resources they need to build your products.
That's right. That's right. Representative Paul Zanko, I love having you on for two reasons. A, you're really smart, and B, I get to say Schenectady.
Now we have to get you to spell it.
Schenectady. All right. Representative Paul Zanko of upstate New York, thanks so much. I'll talk to you again very soon.
Okay, thanks. That's
all right.
To you and your listeners, have a great day and a great 4th of July.
Thank you. You too. Happy 4th. There we go. Schenectady. Such a transit from Chicago, Lackawanna, and Tanawanda.
It's not up to transit,
Mama's hometown from Lackport.
It's not up to transit,
sure
though.
It is. Everything is up to transit.
Okay. Sheesh.
All right. Sure. Oregon.
Do you think your Abby ever visited Schenectady? I'm just wondering.
Oh.
Hello. So spectacular to see you, Schenectady.
I think she just had a speech impediment.
I bet she never even attempted to say Schenectady. 46 minutes after
you
the
are
hour.
Awful. Speaking
so
ill of
tired.
The dead.
I'm one day from vacation. 46 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
We've got to keep up our strength for the fight against evil.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie.
Don't be a hero. Don't be a fool with your life.
It is the Stephanie Miller. I get it. We're saluting the return of Billy from Texas, my right-wing love muffin. Hello, Billy.
Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Listen, you know, all this talk about tax cuts and deductions and everything for the rich is all so much palaver. It doesn't do anybody any good. And until we sit down and address the fundamental unfairness of the tax system the way it's set up and talk about
how
the
is it fundamentally unfair?
Why don't you let me finish?
Okay.
Fundamental fairness of a flat tax where everybody's on an even field.
Okay.
No.
Oh, and of course, you guys aren't going to want to talk about that because that
no,
because
that's a bad idea.
Well,
no, because
you're entitled to your opinion. It just stinks.
Because it takes away from all the battles that you can fight over the unfairness between the rich and the poor.
Well, Billy,
the difference between my position and your position is that I'm correct and you're lying.
Billy, here's why
I'm lying. Wait a minute. How come I just can be incorrect? Why do I have to be lying because I think a flat tax
you know
is a bad
it's not
idea?
True.
Because the tactic of the left is their
I'm not the left. I'm a person.
Any means necessary, and that means cheat, lie, steal, kill, do
Billy,
what you want.
Billy, let me. Here's why I am against the flat tax. It would absolutely discourage people from buying houses because you would no longer have a deduction for mortgage interest, right?
That's minutia.
What?
That's a little bit of the piece of the puzzle.
And
that's
also,
great,
it would
the great effect it would have on everybody.
You're a minutian,
Billy. It would also drastically cut down on charitable giving, which is absolutely necessary.
Not for me. I'm charitable give now.
But you know what? You're not going to have the incentive to do it because you will not be able to write it off as a tax deduction.
I don't need a tax deduction to charitably give.
Well, then you're just a good Christian, and everyone else is a stupid left liar.
All right, that's fine.
But that's fine.
Thank you.
But those two reasons alone are why I am against a flat tax.
And it's there's some people who can't afford at the bottom of the rung to pay that much.
Yeah.
If you're making minimum wage, you can't.
Yeah. Oh, I remember back
the same rate as a millionaire.
Yeah. I remember one year when I was, I don't know, early 20s, my biggest source of income one year was my tax return from.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
I was really make enough to. Yeah. I don't think I made over minimum wage till I got in radio, in fact. So, you know, if this goes down, I've got a job with a paper hat in my future.
You made more than minimum wage in your first job in radio?
No, I'm saying it wasn't until after that in radio that I made more than minimum wage.
Okay. Yeah, because I passed out bumper stickers at the country station for minimum wage.
At least that wasn't the job you wore lederhosen for.
That's true.
And I had to wear a polyester kimono.
Kimono is a Chinese restaurant, not Japanese.
Well, see? They couldn't even do that right. Yeah. I couldn't even get a job in a proper Japanese restaurant. Hello, Jim in Seattle. Hello, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning,
sir.
You're
a great crew.
Thank you.
You know, I wish the Democratic Party would call the Republicans out when we talk about these so-called tax breaks or the budget ceiling. They keep saying, well, if we take these away from the corporations, we'll lose jobs. What jobs have they provided so far in record since they took office?
Well, in
and,
India.
Number
in
one, all this is about is to make the CEOs and the people in the companies, their wallet fatter and their bank accounts fatter. That's all it's about. Mm-hmm. They do not care about jobs. Matter of fact, under the Bush administration.
Well, yeah, they've had these tax breaks. Why aren't they hiring now? They have these record profits. Why aren't they hiring now?
Well, it's, and Stephanie, not only that, but like your guest said, the last couple of years, the banks, oil companies, they made the best profits in the history of the, of their existence. Mm-hmm. And under the Bush administration, we lost 10 million jobs. We lost 50,000 companies closed down. If their system was so good on these tax breaks,
that's right.
Why do these catastrophes happen?
Because it was retroactively Obama's fault.
You're the smartest boy.
Yes.
All right.
He conspired to make that happen.
Sure he did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when he was in kindergarten in Kenya. Sabrina in Jacksonville.
That madrasa.
Yes.
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 Uh-huh. I'm sorry.
Hello.
Good morning. Did you guys catch Morning Joe this morning?
No, but we heard about this.
Oh, Mark Halperin.
Yes.
Yes.
He
oh,
is
my
a...
God. Well, not even that. What really ticked me off was for months now they've been complaining, oh, the president hasn't been tough enough. He's been, you know, he even caved in on the Bush tax cuts. Well, he go out yesterday and I guess he talked down to Republicans and they complained about that too. And then according to Mark Halperin, he was a you know what. So it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't.
But you know, Sabrina, isn't this the same version of like someone yelling you lie at the president of the United States during a State of the Union? I mean, who has ever called? I mean, it's a male organ. He called him the president of the United States on television.
A D word.
Now to give him his due, he did apologize, but
MSNBC has suspended him indefinitely.
That's breaking. They should have, because I was livid. Very disrespectful.
And well, and plus,
for them to sit there and laugh, it wasn't funny.
Right, and Sabrina, the other part of that is like anytime the president is, you know, strong in a press conference, yeah, that's him being a. When he's, you know, expressing an opinion that he is absolutely correct on, that the American people agree with him on, oh, he's being a, you know, it's like, really?
And they can sit there and they can say anything they want about him, but let him defend himself and let him come out strong. Oh, you know, he needs to be above it. No, he doesn't.
No, exactly. When they're the ones being, well, you mask my
so
personal
Obama's
opinion.
Speaking for the wrong American people making less than a gajillion dollars a minute.
Mm. The president yesterday.
Nobody wants to see the United States default.
Actually, some do.
Yes.
But we've got to seize this moment.
Republicans do.
And we have to seize it soon.
Schumer talked about that. Schumer was talking about that the other day, that they want the economy to fail so they can blame it on Obama.
Yeah, exactly.
They will burn the country to the ground to make a political point.
Yep. Oh, by the way, Jim, Bill Clinton agreed with you. The stimulus wasn't big enough.
Oh.
His package bigger, apparently.
I think my package would have been.
Yes. Would have been a lot bigger.
Had I been in office.
That's Monic. All right, stop it. He said he likes the economic stimulus. It just wasn't big enough. He said, I think the stimulus did as well as it could have done. There just wasn't enough of it.
Yep.
Which,
Paul Krugman mentioned that.
Yeah.
And Franklin Roosevelt found that out in 1937, and he was had.
Yeah. More importantly, Chris in Yankton says, Steph, Marcus Bachman sounds like the love child of Big Gay Al from South Park and Al Franken Stewart Smalley.
Oh.
Creepy and hilarious all at the same time. A T and a G.
Creepy hilarious.
Oh, this is from a right-wing poster on a website. Marcus Bachman is garred in Liberace and powder pink heels. I'm a conservative, but there's no way I'd vote for his loon of a wife. I am tired of these religious holes. Doing nothing except talking about gays and abortion. I cannot in good conscience vote for 99% of today's Republicans.
Yay.
Thank you, Chris.
Yay!
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 Angela Carasone of Stop Back next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Aha! 6 minutes. minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Don Lemon from CNN coming up at the bottom of the hour. Very, very exciting. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Tour website, which is going crazy. Coming up next, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, you know it.
Tucson, looking to light up your sunshine factory? The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming to set your mind aglow with their famous brand of progressive comedy.
Up in this Arizona, where a man can walk down the street and have himself a drink without having to check the mirror and see who's gunning after him.
On July 9th at Tucson's Centennial Hall, John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Talk Radio's Woman of the Year, Stephanie Miller, will entertain you with their deep liberal thoughts and comedy so wide it could fill the Grand Canyon.
We just want to hear the truth.
Tickets are available online at uapresents.org, by calling 520-621-3341, or by visiting the Centennial Hall box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show at Centennial Hall on July 9th. Sexy Liberals of Tucson, get ready to show those progressive papers.
Haha, I get it. Okay. By the way, sexy liberal news real quick from Roland, our tour director.
Yes.
He said even those scattered 8 single tickets for the LA show, that's October 22nd, have sold. So the show literally does not have a single seat to be had, 100% capacity. The Friday show only now has 120 seats to sell. They will also be sold out.
Wow.
Better hurry. It's in October. I keep on saying it and saying it again. This doesn't happen in LA.
Wow.
All right, and, so, I'm about to cave on second shows in a couple other places, it looks like. So we'll announce some of those tomorrow.
So is Roland the tour director like Julie the cruise director?
Yes.
Without the cocaine problem?
Yes, he okay. Dresses exactly like... Well, who says he doesn't have a cocaine... All right, just kidding. All right, since I've been traveling a lot for Sexy Liberal, I've been bitching about, you know, flying either Screaming Baby Airlines or Chatty Toddler Airlines.
Yeah.
Or the new one I flew back from Chicago, which was Big Fat White Guy Airlines. I had to sit in the middle seat. In between two really
Grabowskis.
Really,
Why are you holding my hand? Where's your other hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows.
It's a long flight.
Yeah.
Timothy writes, because he thinks he's funny, I had to fly on old bitchy Lizzie Airlines from L.A. to Chicago over the weekend. The old drunk lesbians wouldn't quit complaining and kept waking up my baby. All right,
hey.
Tim. That's funny, Tim.
That's very funny.
Oh, also, we were talking about that hasn't happened to me at the Turtles on the Runway in New York.
Yeah.
At JFK. That one has not happened. But we offended someone because I said maybe it was Mitch McConnell and his family migrating.
Right. Entirely possible.
And Mark writes, Stephanie, please stop referring to Mitch McConnell as a turtle and call him by his real name, Senator Redenbacher. Am I the only one who thinks of delicious popcorn every time I see him on TV? Well, that's also a good...
suppose I could eat popcorn. Well, I prefer to let it.
You need lips to eat popcorn, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Or the butter would start running out the sides of my mouth.
I think he looks more like a what do you call it, a turtle than a Grover Redenbacher, yeah. But thank you.
And salt isn't kind to turtles.
What are the chances we have the song Popcorn? Good for you. You're a good producer. Goodbye. Wow. Thank God I have you, Chris, and you know how to operate the delay button because I dropped a bomb on my own show on Monday when I called in.
Yes,
when
you
Hal Sparks filled in for me. So,
a good executive producer knows how to use the delay button.
Woo! Thank goodness for you and me. So did you hear this Mark Halperin story on Morning Joe this morning?
Mm-hmm.
He said, are we on 7-second delay, implying that he wanted to speak freely? You know, and so the host said yes, thinking he's going to say something controversial. He said, I thought, he was talking about the president. He said, I thought he was a yesterday.
A Cheney.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Scarborough was in disbelief over Halperin's comment, quickly directed his attention off camera, saying, delay that, what are you doing? Halperin apologized after the host realized that the show's new executive producer was not familiar with the 7-second delay button. Oh, dear. Oh, you need to get a new producer then, because that's really important. Oh, what a... Halperin, may I just say, what a...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in fact.
You are an idiot!
And MSNBC has suspended him indefinitely.
Good!
Yes.
All right. Oh, guess what? It's
what?
Christmas sweater day. Tonight is Glenn Beck's last television show.
Wah,
oh,
wah.
Little feller. Sad hobo horn.
Sad hobo.
He's a sad hobo now.
Sad hobo sweater.
Going to live in his van down by the river. And thanks in no small part to Angelo Carasone of StopBeck.com. Good morning, Angelo.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for coming on with us, as always.
Thank you for having me.
Big day for you. Big day. You wrote a piece about basically a decline in revenue, ratings, and relevance for the sad hobo. But, I mean, seriously, more than 300 advertisers excluded their ads from his program. That was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, and literally the other thing you point out, advertisements on Beck's show cost an estimated one-third to one-sixth of what they cost on other Fox shows.
So, exactly. I mean, and the reason I sort of point that out, it's not to sort of be like smug and rub Glenn Beck's nose in it, although I'm happy if that would be the only end. What I think is really important about it is that this campaign went on for 2 years, and Fox News was willing to lose that money for 2 full years. And I think that it really illustrates just how enormous these media behemoths that have been born of deregulation are, and as a consequence of that, just how immune to, you know, accountability they can choose to be if they decide so.
Yeah, but you point out his ratings decline was sharp, significant, and sustained. Yep. In the first quarter of 2011. His audience dropped by 27% in the target demo, down 34%. You know, and then you just talk about general decline in relevance. You were saying that 8 radio stations have dropped in since the beginning of 2011. And then, as you say, all these conservatives started publicly criticizing him.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the ratings, when you look at the graphs, I mean, the decline is so sharp. And it was, you know, I maintained for a very long time that, I mean, Beck has just an audience exhaustion problem. He basically burns through them. And it's kind of fair because he does really sort of, you know, pull a lot of money in from them. It was constantly having them, you know, donate to his little special pet projects that actually turn out to not be sort of charities, but they turn out to be self-serving Glenn Beck events, which are disguised as charities. And he just burns through them with these baseless conspiracy theories and intense fear. And he makes them feel like they're in danger. And then when the danger doesn't come, you know, I guess they get a little disappointed. I mean, a year ago, he promised us rivers of blood. And there was no rivers of blood. I haven't seen any rivers of blood yet. And I'm sure many of his fans were disappointed and feel like Glenn Beck lied to him. And they sort of tuned out as a
consequence. Did he sell Glenn Beck rivers of blood kayaks or anything? Because I'm sure he somehow profited.
However, he did claim a few weeks ago that he was preparing to build an ark. Because he is going to, in case you haven't heard yet, he's the only thing keeping the Jews from being pushed into the sea right now.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah.
That's why he's building this ark, because he's about to save all the Jews.
Hey, you know, our friend Eric Bollard over at Media Matters, I love, he says, you know, it unfolded the way so many common sense crimes do on the Fox and Friends couch. But this is where this started, right? Him calling the president racist. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, Eric writes, years from now, if and when people look back on Beck's troubled tenure, I hope jaws still hang wide open. There's still a sense of shock and wonder that any corporate news entity would ever allow, let alone encourage, someone as dishonest, irresponsible, and hateful as Glenn Beck to use a national television platform to spread his toxic tales of paranoia. I mean, I think that's true. This is one of the biggest flameouts we've ever seen, isn't it, in media history?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you have to look at where he was just in August of 2010. I mean, he was having a big rally on the Mall, and there was this sort of feeling that Glenn Beck was turning America into Glenn Beckistan. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you actually look at the business component to it, I mean, it was built on straws. It was falling apart. His television show at that point was not making any money for Fox News, but was losing money, actually. And his ratings were just at that very peak and were about to drop off very sharply, which everyone sort of coincidentally didn't notice until Fox News let him go in April.
Well, you know, and I think this is a shout-out to you. And Eric writes, the good news is that Beck lost in the end. The good news is that Beck's run on Fox News could not sustain itself because progressive activists made it increasingly difficult for Murdoch to profit from the host's hate game. And that's really the bottom line, right?
Definitely. And you know, I'm always troubled because I don't want it to make it seem like what motivated me was this sort of a desire to squash all diverse opinions or anything different from me. I don't want people to think that. What Glenn Beck did was the clearest illustration of the irresponsibility and the indecency that pervades the entire Fox News network. And really, it's not about politics here. It's about simply asking Fox News to be what they say they are, and that's a news network. And some things they do have to be based in reality and not sort of the self-serving political machinations that they've been engaging in for all these years.
Well, Angela, I think that's right, and I think that's why, even in the end, all these conservatives felt emboldened to step forward, because you're right, what he was doing is not just a difference of opinion from you and I.
That's right.
I mean, I think, you know, as Eric finishes this piece, the Fox sit-tight strategy represented a monumental miscalculation, because they, you know, obviously defended this stuff. until they couldn't anymore.
I really thought that, you know, I think it shows just what, you know, I don't like to call Glenn Beck and a lot of people that run the Fox network, like Roger Ailes, conservatives. I consider them more right-wing extremists, but I think it shows what they really think about activism generally. They're so used to the short flame-out temper tantrums and the impotent rage that they don't understand what happens when somebody commits to a persistent campaign, and that's exactly what happened here with the participants in the Stop Beck effort. This was a persistent campaign that went on for 2 years. We said we weren't going to go away, and piece by piece, one advertiser by a time, you know, we were able to deliver the accountability that any other news network would have done themselves, but Fox News chose not to.
Right. Well, now, they obviously haven't made their big announcement yet, but right. what could possibly be in store for us in the Fox News 5 p.m. slot?
Well, you know, it's funny because one of the sort of front runners to replace Glenn Beck was actually, you know, it was reported that it was Eric Bolling, Fox Business's Eric Bolling. And then, of course, he got into a couple of racial flaps himself most recently, you know, saying Obama was chugging 40s in Ireland. You know, and then, of course, doing that whole Hoods in the His House segment just a couple of weeks ago,
right.
Which, of course, inspired another Color of Change campaign because that is, you know, people think that, you know, oh, there's only one kind of racism. You have to say the N-word. And it's not, that it's not racism. But that's not true, actually. And Fox has sort of a consistent pattern of preying on these racial anxieties or race baiting in such a blatant way. And I think Eric Bolling sort of stepped in, you know, the Glenn Beck territory there. And I wonder if that's going to affect him and his chances of replacing him.
You're absolutely right. You picture their, like, you know, story meetings. Is there any footage of scary black people that goes with that story? Well, then what's the point of it then? Forget it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Angela, really good job. My 88-year-old Republican mother would punch you in the throat if she ever met you, being a huge Glenn Beck fan, but I love you. And I appreciate your time, as always. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks very much.
All right. There he goes, Angela Carasone.
Yay!
StopBeck.com. Done and done. He can put that off his checklist now. Consider it stopped. All right.
Now maybe we can stop Steve Ducey.
This doesn't have the ring to it. Stop Ducey.
Dump Ducey.
DumpDucey.com. There you go. There's an idea for you. How do you do?
Yeah.
You know, I believe you spitballed that with me in our go-to-meeting yesterday, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I said, why? Let's go ahead. Let's go with that.
See how much planning goes into this show?
Mm-hmm. Just seems all pulled out of our ass, but no. Online meetings, it's a great tool for businesses to work smarter. I hate traveling because I hate everyone.
Hate babies. You hate chatty toddlers.
Yes.
You hate... big guys that are sitting next to you.
And tiny bottles of wine.
Yes, I highly recommend. That's the worst thing about traveling.
Yeah.
The heck drinks that little bottle of wine?
I always order
two now.
Oh,
I don't
do
care
you?
What they think. I'm like, yeah, give me at least a couple and keep them coming. Okay.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Woo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. CNN's Don Lemon coming up in just a few minutes. Jim, who said you don't have to be smart to appreciate fart humor, but if you don't think it's funny, you aren't very smart? Who said that?
Michelle Bachman?
No! Louis C.K. on The Daily Show, who is very funny and a fine American. And
what I've seen.
And we salute him.
Well, he's a great Obama.
Yeah, apparently. Yay for fart jokes.
Yay.
Okay. Yay, what? Right, Michelle Bachman? Yay. Okay, let's... Yay! Ah, thanks. Robert in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Robert.
Hey, Steph. Hey, I just wanted to say real quick, you know, in the black community, we have, like, such a... we're starting to get over it, but we're a little afraid of homosexuality. There's a lot of brothers who are homophobes, which is why there is either people are really gay or they don't, or they're in the down low. And when you think about gay marriage, to me... The biggest issue is that whether or not you are comfortable with it on religious purposes is really irrelevant because we don't live in a theocracy. It's a civil rights issue. And if we frame the
subject in that way, more people, I believe, would be more inclined to be a part of that culture. Because the fact of the matter is, whether or not I like it is not the point. The point is, it is fair. It is fair.
Well, thank you. That is very good. That is, I think, a really good point and a lot of honesty in that. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it.
All right.
By the way, did you hear Rudy Giuliani? Did you see this one? Remember he presided to, he promised to preside over the wedding of his gay friends that he stayed with?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. After the
when his wife kicked him out because he was, Now he won't return their calls. Despicable.
That's ridiculous.
When he was going through the messy divorce.
Unpleasantness?
Yes, when he was going through all the unpleasantness.
I must read.
Oh, that's the lovely Judith Giuliani. He was taken in by a gay car dealer and his partner. He stayed with the couple for 6 months, during which time he promised to preside over their wedding if and when marriage equality ever came to New York. Well, now that is, they would like to repeat the ceremony they did in Connecticut. And Giuliani is known to also not returning phone calls. And he's apparently thinking he's going to run for president. So he, of course, views the New York law as one he cannot. Yeah.
Computer says no.
Ridiculous. Yes. The president on gay rights yesterday.
What I've seen happen over the last several years and what happened in New York last week, I think was a good thing. Because what you saw was the people of New York having a debate, talking through these issues. It was contentious, it was emotional, but ultimately they made a decision to recognize civil marriages. And I think that's exactly how things should work.
And I'm just saying, Andrew Cuomo's poll ratings have shot right off. Yep. Did you see this? First Lady Michelle Obama's office quickly shot down a suggestion that she's ever publicly voiced support for same-sex marriage. Jim McGreevy said on CNN. He said he said if only he could listen to Michelle more often. But she's never made a public statement on it. But I think she's for it. I'm just saying.
Well, then, it would kind of help things if she said she was.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I wish we could get past this. It's just, to me, you look at all the polling and, I wish he could get out in front of this. I understand, though. It's like when we did that breakdown earlier about DOMA and which states, this is exactly the play they ran, Jim, in 2004 to activate their crazy, religious right base.
Right.
So,
and now the younger generation
I don't think it's 2004 anymore, but,
The younger generation are being held hostage by the dead.
Yes.
Like we said earlier this
morning. I had a suggestion for old homophobes, and I just,
for God's sake, just die.
I mean that theoretically.
Metaphorically.
Yes. Just saying. Because it is. Basically younger voters. It's going to happen, and it becomes frustrating. All right. Linda in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Linda.
Hi, Stephanie. I just had to call in and share with you and my fellow listeners out there the truly historic accomplishment that happened here in Ohio yesterday with our fight against the anti-union bill that the Republicans passed into law. We had a giant people's parade downtown. We delivered more than almost 1.3 million signatures to the Secretary of State's office to get this on the ballot this November to defeat it, to repeal it.
Oh, awesome. Go on. Yay. I say yay for that. Yeah, fighting back.
Yay!
Check it out. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with CNN's Don Lemon next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
An amazingly gorgeous girl who once made a really dorky American feel cool.
Aww. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, my boy Howdy, I love him doing the news, and now he's been making news. Our favorite from CNN, Don Lemon, joins us now. Good morning, Don.
Good morning, I'm back.
Yay! And you know what? You were on with us the last time. It was about a week before the news of your book broke, really.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You sly devil.
I know. Stephanie, I couldn't tell you. I felt so bad.
That's all right. Listen, you got to wear a hard hat if you're standing near a closet door these days, because just left and right, people coming out.
Well, I came out on roller skates. I mean, it was like...
On Acme rocket skates. So your new book is Transparent. I've heard it's just unbelievable. You gotta sort of tell us your story a little bit from the beginning, because it sounds like you got told a million times, first of all, that you're never going to make it in broadcast journalism.
I was born the son of a poor sharecropper in the backwoods of Georgia.
Yeah.
And they told me ever since I was a child. No, I'm kidding. No, actually, I mean, it's not that far off. I was born in Louisiana, and yeah. I went to LSU. And my journalism professor told me, hey, listen, you're never going to make it in this business. Go find something suited to your own talent.
Wow.
And there were people who were in my particular class who were a lot less talented than me.
Right.
So you know what that meant in the South, you know, poor black boy in the South. So no.
All right. I have the tiny violin at the ready for you.
I know, but I knew what he meant. I mean, I'm not stupid, right? And so I left LSU and I just packed up my things with $200 and I moved to New York City.
Now, I mean, at the time, did you read that as just being racial? You're not going to make it because you're black, or?
Well, I knew it was because there were these, you know, cute little white girls and white guys in the class, and he was very friendly with them, and he helped them out, and he gave them a lot of help. And for me, he didn't want to come near me with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen the tapes that I had on camera and that I would make when I was a kid, and I wasn't that bad. I was better than the rest of the kids in the class.
And I find you startlingly beautiful, if you don't mind my saying so.
Well, I think you're hot, too, but oh, my gosh, should we get a room?
Yeah. Wow, this is a weird turn this interview has taken. Yeah, we have that music, too, for you.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
Wow, 70s porn. Now, how are you doing, Don Lemon? So, Don, now, you know, it's interesting you happened to call. I don't know, you probably didn't hear, but we had a black caller just before the break who was talking about how this can be difficult in the black community in particular. He said, called on the down low, and he said, but, you know, he was being very supportive of marriage equality, but he said, I have to tell you, this has been a tough issue in the black community. So
it
this
had a tough issue. It's something that you don't talk about. I mean, and I'm being quite honest. And I think I told you this before. It's like people who, you know, when it's like, oh, my neighbor's great, but they're black. You know, that person,
yeah, the whispery, yeah.
The whispery. You don't really talk about it, and which is one reason I do. It's like, can someone just say the words, please?
Yeah, but I know. Like, no, we. That's what people do. They
in
do.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Yeah.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm black.
Yes.
So, I think that for the church has been the backbone of the black community for such, you know, forever.
Right.
And so it's preached against, it's taught against in church, and it's not just in the black community, it's in the Hispanic community as well, but more so it's more prevalent in the black community because we're really churchgoers. And so I think that's it. You have to be masculine. And you know, when the CDC has to invent another category because men don't want to say that they're gay, when you have to come up with men who sleep with men.
Right.
Okay,
wow.
It's like, wait a minute. What does that mean to you? To me, that's always been gay. I mean, I don't know.
Don, no. why did you decide to come out? And why did you decide to come out now?
Well, I never was really in with my family. I mean, I was until
See,
I was 30
me,
years
same
old,
with me. Yep.
Mom.
Yep.
Yeah, I told my mom, my family, and my friends, they knew, and people who were close to me, but it's not something you just talk about at work, you know, it's
right.
Or you go run around the office, or you say publicly. And so when I was writing, someone approached me to write a book, and I said, if I'm going to write a book about my life and how to be successful, I cannot leave this out. This would be disingenuous.
Right,
to
right.
To say, oh, I've been a successful person, but, oh, I don't talk about my sexuality.
But, you know,
come on.
Don, that's exactly my story. Is I've been out to friends and family for years. I just didn't talk about it on the radio. I didn't, you know, pretend to be straight. I didn't have, you know, make up boyfriends or any of that stuff, but I think you're right. It's particularly like straight, they call it straight news for a reason, because you're right, it's like, this just in from Afghanistan, by the way, I'm gay. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you just think, is that, you know, do you owe everybody every part of your private life? I mean, that's
no,
the way at least.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
I don't think everybody has to, but I think it's important. I didn't know, Stephanie, before that there were kids and young people who were watching me who looked up to me as a role model and who were questioning and didn't know
right.
and didn't know that they could be successful. And then when I heard of Tyler Clementi and what happened to him, I said, you know what, if there were been, had been more people who were out and proud like me, it wouldn't have taken me 45 years, and I wouldn't have, may not have had the struggles that I had when I was a young person.
Right.
And I, but just by saying the words, you don't have to know, people say, I don't need to know what you do in your bedroom. Well, you're not going to know what I do in my bedroom because I'm not telling you that.
Right.
I'm
right.
Just sharing
well,
a part of my life with you, like people who talk about their kids and their weddings and their girlfriends and their boyfriends. It's just me as a human. I, you know.
That's right. Well, you know, it's so similar to me. I always, you know, Shelley Wright, the country singer, is I always call her my, yeah, call her my coming out coach, because that's exactly what she said to me that resonated so much at that time. She said, it makes a difference to know it's your favorite news anchor on CNN. It's your favorite country singer. It's
absolutely
your favorite radio show. It's your brother. It's your sister. And this is, I think, why, you know, gay rights is moving forward so quickly, don't you think? Because it's becoming not partisan anymore. It's just becoming human.
Well, absolutely, and I think, you know, there's going to be a day when you don't have to announce it, you don't have to say it, but until that day happens, I think more high-profile people should come out, and I think it should be celebrated, because I wish I had my BlackBerry near me. I did a thing yesterday for Turner inside of my company, and all these people who came, and they're like, yeah, nobody wants to admit, but I just came because I like your book. Oh, I just like you. I said, are you a member of the LGBT community? No, not really. And so now I'm getting all these emails. Thank you for, now I can be more out at work.
Right.
And I didn't know, I didn't realize that. It's just a part of who I am. And I didn't really, you know, I kept it a secret. And there's no shame in it. Why am I ashamed and why am I afraid to tell people? You shouldn't be. It doesn't affect who you are. You're still a great person. So people, still, that's one part of you that people know about. And that's something, there is deception in silence.
Well, and that's why it's such a big deal.
You think something is wrong with it, but because you're silent about it. You don't have to run around announcing it to everyone, but if someone asks, oh, yeah, or just
right.
say, oh, you know, I'm going out with my girlfriend or my boyfriend.
Well, right, and, you know, Don, I think that's why, you know, things take such a quantum leap when a CNN anchor does it, when a famous country singer does it, when, you know, because when an athlete does it who just did, you know, when it's somebody in the sports world, and, you know, all of those, you know, are sort of a quantum leap, and you're right. Hopefully that will get to a point where it won't be.
Yeah.
It won't be a big deal, you know, for anybody to...
And, I mean, listen, we all know people, right? It's like, you know, people go, oh, some of my best friends are black. Well, some of my best friends are straight.
Right.
And some of them are, and we all know people. And so why does it have to be this whisper thing? And why, and for the people who really care, why do you care so much?
Right.
Why do you care what two consenting adults do in their own home? Or one, for that matter.
Right.
It's none of my business.
Right. And no, so, that's really true. I realized that the other day in my own life, most of my best friends are straight. And, you know, you just think at some point.
Here.
Right. It just, there shouldn't really even be those dividing lines. Now, Don, let me talk. The other thing in your book, obviously, that you know, I think is so tough to talk about is it being the victim of child molestation, which you're also so honest about in the book.
Well, that was, that just sort of slipped out. It was like, oops.
Right, right.
But I'm serious. I was talking about the Bishop Eddie Long situation here in Georgia, and, you know, the men who accused him of sort of coercing, my mouth isn't working today, into sex, and with gifts and all of that, and I had some members of his congregation on, and they were young people, and they were saying, well, he doesn't look this way, he doesn't look like an abuser, and I'm like, kids, hello, wake up, no one has an M on their forehead for molester.
Right.
People aren't always who they present themselves to be in public. So I said it on national television. I didn't realize I was going to say it, but I had to have, but those young people know, like, hey, don't be a fool. Don't be stupid. I'm not saying the bishop is guilty, or I hope he's not, but, you know, you got to be careful of the bishop. You got to be careful of the choir director. You got to be careful of the milkman. They don't have those anymore. Your uncle, your cousin, your stepdad, everybody, your teacher, your coach, you have to be careful, and you should be aware. That's all that was about. And boy, just by saying it, Stephanie, it was unbelievable how much response I've gotten.
I bet. Don, how do you, because, you know, the problem, you know, a lot of times our friends on the right, because we get these callers every day that say, well, see, that's why someone's gay, because they were molested by...
No, most molesters and most abusers are heterosexual.
That's right.
Are you going to blame heterosexuality on that?
Right.
I mean, come on. And usually, and I'll tell you, this is a distinction. Most abusers are not homosexual.
Right.
Most of them are heterosexual. And if they do find someone of the same sex, it's because of a vulnerability or a weakness that they can hold over that person. It's not sex. It's because there wasn't someone of the opposite sex who's available, so they found someone else. A predator is a predator is a predator, but that doesn't change their sexuality. I knew what I was before that, way before that, because I was knee-high to a duck.
Yeah, so to speak.
And I think maybe that's why he maybe he saw vulnerability in me. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I sort of isolated myself. I was quiet because I knew I was different from that. Not
because everything you were, you had to whisper.
Yeah.
I'm black.
If you want to capture someone's attention.
Now, Don, you got to talk to me. But you're in New York, obviously, a huge, vote there on marriage equality. We are really moving at a pace, aren't we? And I think the civil rights battle of our generation, don't you?
It is. You know, I'm back and forth today. I'm in Atlanta. I'm between Atlanta and New York, mm-hmm. and it is. You know, I was in New York up until Wednesday. And boy, just the energy in that city. And you know, I was at the Trevor Awards, and people were, yep. you know, and it was a day after Pride, and people were all hungover.
Yeah.
And excited. It is moving. And, you know, it's funny. I'm glad you said that, because I told even my own team in the newsroom, I'm like, this is the evolution of the civil rights movement. And they're like, oh, it's not the same. It's different. And last night I got to an event, and John Lewis, you know,
right.
the civil
right.
rights icon, was there speaking, and he said, this is about human rights. This is about civil rights. Gay people should be able to be married, and gay people should be able to should have the same rights as everyone else. And I'm like, this coming from, you know, the one of the civil rights icons of our time. I mean, it's right. People.
Yep.
He's right. People ask me about my opinions about marriage. As a journalist, I'm not going to tell you that. But what my answer is that I'm a descendant of people who fought for civil rights and who believe that every American citizen should have equal rights under the Constitution in this land. And any step in that direction is a step in the right direction.
Well, then I just have one nosy personal question. If you get married in New York, could I be the flower girl? I'm just asking.
I would like you to be, can you be the flower, I don't know, I was going to say something really, but we have to say that in private.
All right. Don Lemon, I've always loved you in such a weird, non-gay way, and now I love you even more.
I love you in a very weird, non-gay way.
Yeah, me too. It's weird. All right, Don Lemon.
I'm sorry, wait, I love you. How can I be? I'm gay. I love you in a weird,
gay
way.
I know, it's weird. That's it's
okay.
Almost
it's
like...
okay, Stephanie. It's... come out of the closet. You can love me in a weird, gay way. It's okay. People still love you.
No, you know what's happening? It's like we're crossing our gay streams. And it's turning us both straight for each other. I don't know what's happening.
Oh,
all right.
This is getting way.
This can
yeah.
Okay. All right. The book is trans.
The
book is transparent. The man is Don Lemon from CNN. Don, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again real soon.
I love you. I love you guys.
I love you too, honey.
Love you too.
Talk to you
bye.
Soon. All right. Bye bye.
Wow.
Didn't I say last time he was on? I loved him, and I didn't even know how much I loved him.
Yeah.
Oh, I love him. All right. 47. That was weird. This show just gets weirder.
Yep.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, it's a cross between beautiful and gross. I want to cry and vomit.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour. Jerry in Los Angeles. Hey, Jer.
Oh, Stephanie.
Yes.
Morning, Stephanie. Morning, Mook.
Yes, hello.
Hey, I had an unfortunate occurrence last Sunday. I got up, turned on the TV, and there was Michelle Bachmann staring at me.
Yay.
Sometimes it's not safe to turn on the TV, but
no.
So I turned it
yay!
Right off. And then I picked up the LA Times, and there's this huge article on how Michelle Bachmann had been the recipient of all these
yes.
federal farms.
But she's a great big
wheel
yes.
Of
yes.
Right-wing hypocrites.
Yeah. On the federal money. Mm-hmm. That she is, she and her husband Marcus
mm-hmm.
have received. Okay. All yes. right. Hmm?
Marcus receives federal taxpayer funds for provably
de-gaying.
Dangerous
yes.
De-gaying.
Yes. Chris
therapies.
And Yankton writes, Steph, I like your motto, I hate everyone. You and Jean-Paul Sartre are soulmates. He said hell is other people's. So true.
Yeah.
Although not as much as Marcus Bachmann hates me this morning.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
Oh, Sartre had an ass face. Oof.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Zoinks.
That's
wall-eyed frog.
A butterface.
Yeah.
Amy believes her
wow.
children are the future. Steph, I've told my two awesome children, 13 and 8, for some time now, I'll happily and proudly assume that they're gay until they choose to come out to me as straight.
I believe the children
are future.
All right. It's bizarre.
Just saying anything's okay. It's all right. Just to make it, you know.
Mm.
All right. Oh, and tonight is today is a Christmas sweater day, as you know. Glenn Beck's last show tonight. Matt says, Mama, I think Glenn Beck should go out like Howard Beale at the end of Network.
Oh, I want you to get up right now cool. and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Yeah, I think his final act, Chris, might be like me at Sexy Liberal. I think he might shoot some ping pong balls out of orifices, light some farts on fire. This might be an extravaganza. This might be worth tuning in for tonight.
Just hit your DVRs.
It's like the return of Gabbo.
What are they going to do, fire him?
I know.
It's like when they let me go on the radio station last time they fired
You're
me, remember?
Fired.
They regret that decision.
They gave you two more nights. You lasted one more night. I remember that. I was there for that.
Security was going to take me out in the middle of the show. Ah, that's funny.
Is that the night we did
Jesus Christ Superstud?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, the president at a kick-ass press conference yesterday shafted his back, in a blistering rebuke of Republicans. Obama pressed lawmakers to accept tax increases as part of a deal to cut the nation's deficit to avoid a crippling government default. Let's get it done, he said.
Who's the best candidate gonna fix health care before it's too late?
Yeah, that's right. Brock.
You're damn right.
Damn Skippy. Thank you. He said they should consider canceling next week's July 4th recess to work out the possible agreement.
By the way, the Senate just said they are going to work through the July 4th
good
recess.
Good for them. They're going to work.
Michelle Bachmann would say, yay.
Yay. Yay. Okay. President.
In addition to the steps that my administration can take on our own, there are also things that Congress could do right now that will help create good jobs.
All right, and then he talked about putting construction workers back to work.
Right now, Congress could send me a bill that puts construction workers back on the job rebuilding roads and bridges.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Not by having government fund and pick every project, but by providing loans to private companies and states and local governments on the basis of merit and not politics. That's pending in Congress right now.
Well, then pass it.
Damn it.
Do it. Get it done. And then he went on to talk about the tax cuts. For
right
the
now,
class.
We could give middle-class families the security of knowing that the tax cut I signed in December will be there for one more year. So there are a number of steps that my administration is taking, but there are also a number of steps that Congress could be taking right now on items that historically have had bipartisan support and that would help put more Americans back to work.
Or they could crash the economy and blame it on Obama.
Yeah,
which is what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to be clear about what we're proposing here. I spent the last 2 years cutting taxes for ordinary Americans. And I want to extend those middle-class tax cuts. The tax cuts I'm proposing, we get rid of, are tax breaks for millionaires and billionaires. Tax breaks for oil companies and hedge fund managers and corporate jet owners.
So why does he want to destroy small businesses, huh? Why is he doing that?
You know who might be out of a job soon? Jennifer Lopez. She's saying, she's not sure she's going to be, money grab. Not sure if I'm coming back next season.
Oh, that's a total negotiation tactic. You do this every year.
Yeah, sure I do. And I end up with less. What? How'd that happen?
What? Hey.
What did I do? Shania Twain and Shakira are already being floated around.
Shania Twain would be awesome.
Who is this? Is this superficial? They had an awesome idea. Or they could pay Charlie Sheen $100,000 in cash for an entire season, which he'd take, saving the show millions and allowing it to air a season where you sing right or a drug addict shivs you in the damn face while claiming he's the Vatican. That would be entertaining. Okay. I love this story.
Twain's not impressed much.
Superficial also saying you'd assume a story about Charlie Sheen admitting to using any type of drug would be the exact opposite of news by now. But in Sports Illustrated, he said he took steroids while filming a Major League.
Yeah.
He said, you can print this. I don't give a... fastball went from 79 miles an hour to like 85. He eventually quit taking steroids after realizing the drug made it difficult for him to control his temper. Which apparently was fine before the steroids. Mm. Just the coke, it's fine. But the coke and the steroids, that was a little
much. Yeah.
And more crazy.
A little hard on your liver.
Well, she's learned her lesson. Lindsay Lohan will have a party to celebrate the end of her house arrest.
Oh, God.
low-key one. Lot less yes. blow than lot less blow than usual. What's a low key party for Lindsay Lohan?
I
think
mind
a little,
reels.
Less, a little
no,
less blow.
No human sacrifices, I think.
Fridays with Pupils Sing tomorrow. We'll see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.